you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 27th, 2023. And that reading out of John chapter 21, verse 15, is a current favorite of my special guest on this Testimony Tuesday. I have Pastor Nick Brazowski in the studio with me. And I said, Nick, I need to have you for Testimony Tuesday. Could you be available? And he said, well, sure, I love sharing my faith journey. And if anyone can be encouraged by how God brought me to himself, that would be great. And he currently serves as the pastor at the Anchor Church here in Champaign. He's a faithful attender to the ministry leader's monthly luncheon. In fact, there's a rare occasion where he's not there. And I'm like, what's wrong? Were you sick? Were you on death's door? Because he's always there. I call him one of my Barnabases. He always comes in with a cheery disposition and encouraging word, a smile on his face. I think your wife, Hannah, joined us a few times, right? Hasn't she come to a couple of those luncheons?
One or two. One or two.
Okay, I think I've met her. The first lady.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in some ways, she's more of the pastor than I am, just with how we're doing things with the church right now. We'll talk about it a little bit, but we're going into bivocational, so Hannah's actually running a lot of it right now. Mm-hmm. Super grateful for her.
Well, before we get into the faith journey, talk a little about Anchor Church, and certainly a shout out for Hannah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anchor Church really is a dream of mine, and it came about really as a miracle through some different circumstances. Things were really rough with our former church. And we got to a point where the pastor found out that we were going to be leaving the church. We were both full-time staff there. And then we had this deadline that we had to meet. And so, you know, it was, and maybe because I was just in my own bubble. I had grown up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, been there my whole life. I was a youth pastor at the church that I had grown up in. And so the only path I could see in front of me was becoming a lead pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to a whole lot of places, and it just wasn't enough time. The deadline I had to actually get hired on anywhere wasn't going to happen. And then we came across Converge. They used to go by the General Baptist Conference, but they're big into church planning. They've been pushing church planning a lot. And when we met them, it just seemed like doors were opening left and right. And as I look back, it's just a miracle that we were able to launch Anchor, that the doors had opened, that God brought us here to Champaign. A lot of coincidences had to happen for this to come about.
Yeah, and some would say God's providence, where it's circumstantial, but he's working behind the details, bringing it all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I serve with my wife, Hannah, from the very beginning. You know, our model was we would fundraise. We fundraised in 2019 for 4 or 5 months in the summer, met with everybody we can. I mean, we hustled that summer. We must have had over 200 meetings with people, seeing who would be interested in supporting us. And then we moved out, not knowing anybody in the Champaign area, and started meeting people, started inviting people to our house, and started organizing groups, and eventually started doing services. And one of the things that we do a little different is we launched in the middle of COVID, January 2021. So it was actually a digital launch. Mm-hmm. So we went around and we drove and dropped off experience kits to different houses. We're like, okay, we got to make this special in some way. But it was like a half hour video that felt so, so bizarre and a bit empty that when it was done, we, you know, closed our laptops and we're like, okay, I guess that was the launch of our church that we've been, you know, preparing for years at that point. And so from that point, we knew we wanted to keep doing services monthly, not do weekly, because it just didn't make sense. We can't even gather together. Why would we put so much energy around this right now? So we started doing monthly and continued doing monthly at that point. and we began to like it more and more and seeing all the different possibilities and, you know, got stirring up in our hearts about a new way to do church where we focus on building relationships, building community, less about the Sunday event.
And more about the small group experience, right?
Yeah,
That's happening like each week.
Yeah, so each Sunday that we're not doing the service, we'll have dinner together and we'll go through different topics together. And it's a lot more, you know, I've heard it, circles are better than rows. And so we give more opportunities for circles than we do for rows. I think people can learn and grow better when they're challenged and ask questions and they're invited into the learning process than just the simple lecture format. So we only do once a month of that.
So what would the topics be on?
Yeah, so every month it's a new topic that we preach on. So a lot of those we've actually spent months and months preparing for. So there's another cool thing where any sermon I give, I mean, it's been marinating for a while, which is fun. But the groups, we get to have some fun. We've always been experimenting with different ways of doing it. Once we had a Following Jesus course, which was the basics of Christianity, we thought that'd be really good to go through. We did one on different views of hell. We went through one of those like counterpoint books, and we talked about what do different people believe about hell and what does the scripture actually say about it. This semester, we launched a new one called Fitness and Faith. And so for a half hour, it's actually Hannah's group. She'll lead this fitness group. So it's been really stretching for her. She's never done anything like this before, but she's been doing the whole fitness stuff on the Peloton, like the videos and stuff.
Sure.
She's been watching them. So now it's her chance to lead them. And then she'll throw in a verse along with it. And so they'll mix in, you know, half hour workout along with studying the Bible together and building community in that way. And it's been really fun and really great.
We opened up the program with John 21:15 because I had asked you, do you have a favorite verse? And you said, gosh, Mark, there's so many favorites and there's some that I am preaching on. There's some that I love like currently. And this one, the John 21:15 had to do with Jesus approaching Peter, do you love me? And you said, yeah, that's because something that God's doing in my heart currently as I'm bivocational. I'm also a bookkeeper and I'm looking for options. And we can talk a little about your bookkeeping and some of the services that you provide, but why this John 21:15? What is God speaking to you currently?
Yeah, so in particular, even just this week, it's been a lot of wrestling with my calling. We've done this new different model, and we're kind of come to a place where we realize that for whatever reason, it's not working like we wanted it to. So we'll have three times the number of people going to our services than our groups. And so we're thinking about tweaking the model. What do we do with the church? And all along this year, I started becoming bivocational. I've started training up to be a bookkeeper. And I realized, you know, ever since high school, really, if you count my ministry school and everything, this is the first time that I'm actually bivocational, that I'm not full-time ministry. And so, it's raised up a lot of questions and a lot of wrestling for me as far as where calling is and what God has for me and how should we approach, you know, how should we try to grow the church? All these things that I've been really trying to bring to God. And so, you know, I just sat there and I prayed and God brought this up to mind. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Daily Dose of Greek in seminary. I heard about that. They said, you got to keep your Greek. You got to keep, you know, following up on your Greek. And so this is a pretty great resource. It's like 2 or 3 minutes a day and they go through a verse in the Greek. And so I've been doing that every morning. And that was the verse of the day was John 21:15. And I just heard that, you know, soft whisper saying, remember, like, do you love me? And that question was just so good for me because I am someone who I love new ideas, love new things, whether it's theological ideas, I love talking about what different people think. I love trying out new things. And so, you know, I love launching a new business like this bookkeeper business. But I also, you know, I grew up in a drug abuse home. I grew up without a dad, and so I deal with a whole lot of self-doubt, you know, being in a drug abuse home where my family, in some ways, was unable to connect with me and attach. And so, you know, I'm growing up with the message that, are you really worthy of a relationship? and then not having a dad in my life, it was a year and a half ago, I finally did a DNA test, found out that I was the result of a one-night stand. Mm. My dad never knew I existed. So he passed away 10 plus years ago. And so not having a dad, I never knew when enough was enough. Right. And so, always trying to be this overachiever in school, always trying to push harder and harder with church. And so when it comes to more recently, a lot of that self-doubt button is getting pushed quite a bit. And so just hearing the words that Jesus said to Peter and applying them to myself, just that simple, well, there's a million different ways you can do church. There's a million different ways you can make money and you can make up the difference. But let's simplify things. Do you love me? And, I've been hurt by church. I'd say my last church was very abusive. The leadership was very, very manipulative. But I never questioned my love for Jesus. Right. And I know Jesus never changed his love for me.
Right.
And so bringing it back to that do you love me was just was exactly what I needed. And then just the simple, ordinary, so then just feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's driving me right now. Mm.
What I wrote down as you were talking, that Colossians 3:17 and 3:23, and they're somewhat similar. One is, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And the other one is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But it was transformative for me when I took it to heart, because whatever you do, whether you're having a bookkeeping business or whether it's the Sunday message that you're delivering or it's participating in the small group, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, put your energy, your passion into it, as if you're doing it to the Lord, not for men. And so, the audience of one, that's something that we're going to be bringing to the Virginia Theater on November 11th. We're going to bring a community-wide prayer gathering because our audience is God. And so when you have that perspective, whether you're preparing the sermon and delivering it, or whether you're helping somebody with their bookkeeping, mm-hmm. You can do it to God's glory. You're doing it for him. You might be paid by the church or paid by the individual, but if you're really looking at whatever you do as working for God, it puts things into best perspective. Because when I used to work for Jewel Food Stores, and I took this message to heart as I was the manager walking in the store, that everyone in that store I could lead towards a relationship with God, whether it was the customer, whether it was smart business practices, being a Christian, or just loving God and loving people, I was his worker bee, paid by Jewel, but working for God. And that in fact, this Bible in front of me came from that conference, Christians in the Marketplace, presenting Jesus's call to serve, witness, and righteousness. I was telling you how I had a bunch of these Bibles I bought from the conference, but that's from 1986. But that transformed my thinking, that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And so that would be my exhortation, whether you are preparing that message or somebody listening today says, I need a bookkeeper, or our business needs a bookkeeper, or my small auto repair shop needs a bookkeeper. So how are you going to fit that in with sermon prep? Or you're just going to say, Lord, I know I'm delivering a message this day, but I have 48 extra hours to serve clients or new customers. How is that going to work?
Oh, I guess we'll see. we're still deciding what we want to do as far as the model of the church. So we may end up going to weekly, but as of right now, we're monthly. So our model does allow some more freedom.
Okay. And your expertise in bookkeeping, how would you describe that for somebody that says, we need a bookkeeper? Does he know how to do QuickBooks? Is he efficient in streamlining things? What services will you offer?
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I'm focused more so on ministries, churches, because, I know what it's like to run the church from the inside, so I can be a little more helpful in that way. Yeah, I've been spending all this year training up. I had this one client, kind of offering free resources to them just to kind of get some more experience. But I am fairly new and starting out. And so one of the best things I can offer a church or a business is some really good rates. Mm-hmm. My rates are half or even a quarter of what some churches are paying. We were having a conversation. Yeah. I know you have a passion for efficiency and avoiding waste. Yeah. And I think churches are spending too much on bookkeepers. So right now what I'm offering is to get them set up on QuickBooks Online, which can be a big ordeal. Yeah. So I want to offer that along with 2 months for free of, you know, anything a bookkeeper can offer. So payroll and taxes, statement reconciliation, making sure everything's lined up. I can even help a little bit with the internal controls, making sure that you're set up and your church is in a healthy place with its financial systems, sure. Transactions, expenses, all that stuff, recording everything, reports.
Yeah, the QuickBooks Online, we transitioned into that, I think, earlier this year, at the end of last year, and it allows our team to access that information, whether they're in Fisher or Springfield or White Heath, mm-hmm. or wherever. Board members can log in because it's in the cloud, if you will. I know it might sound a little scary or foreign to some of you, but it's so much more efficient and practical, and we can all access the information at the same time. You don't have to go to a building or one location. So QuickBooks Online is really a great resource for us. Well, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or learn more, I know they could go to anchorchurchil.com. That's Anchor Church and then IL, probably for Illinois.
For Illinois,
yep. Anchorchurchillinois.com. Or they could call you at 262-945-5603, 262-945-5603. And if you're driving to work or didn't get to write that down, you can call the station and we'll give you that information. But with it being Testimony Tuesday, you alluded to a little of your background, but walk us through some of that faith journey, how you came to know Jesus and why you're serving him this very day.
Yeah. So, you know, church did save my life with all the warts and everything. I come from this drug abuse home. My mom nearly aborted me. It was just a flippant decision. She was actually, going to buy a bag of dope instead. I guess. You know, back then in Chicago, like you had to pay for your abortion. And she ended up using the money on some drugs instead. So kind of cool thing.
Yeah, drugs saved my life. Yeah.
After I was born, you know, it was my first birthday and my mom was just out of it the entire birthday. Me and my older brother, we share, you know, we're 2 days apart kind of thing, and 3 years. And we had this joint birthday. My mom was hammered. Mm. She doesn't even remember it. And so that was a wake-up call to her. And from that point, she did a lot of recovery groups. Mm. I mean, she really made some strides. And she's battled addiction since then. But for the last few years, she's actually been very, very clean and sober, and I've kind of gotten my mom back these last 6 years. Mm-hmm. Well, in the middle of that, though, as she's doing recovery groups, she's starting to go to church, and so we joined my aunt's church, and even though some of my family kind of loses interest, this church really adopts me and takes me in, and so I get really, really involved. When I'm 6 years old, the outreach pastor, I don't know if outreach pastors still do this, but he would go and do home visits and he'd share the gospel with people who might be new to the church. And so he came and he presented the gospel to my mom in the kitchen. And I remember just eating it all up. Mm. I can remember, you know, he gave this illustration of the whole Niagara Falls and a tightrope on either side. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, but it was like, you know, it was the perfect thing. So he described faith not as believing that this guy could walk the tightrope, but actually stepping into a wheelbarrow and having him walk you across.
Yeah, because it's easy to say, oh, I believe you could walk back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But do you believe it so much that you're going to get in the wheelbarrow and have him walk across?
Or, right. Faith requires a real trust. Mm-hmm. And so I was young. I was six, but I look at that as the time I came to Christ.
And then when did you feel a calling to pursue being a pastor or get more involved, basically being all in?
Well, it took different stages. So, you know, from that point on, I love church, and I felt God's presence and God's love whenever I was at church. And so I always wanted to be around. And, you know, it was sort of this, even me going to church was a positive impact on my mom. And so she would say things like, yeah, you're going to be a pastor. I can see something God's doing in you. So I felt it even really, really young. Even at one point, the church was talking about church planning, and I'm like, that would be the most incredible thing. And so even just the seed of church planning was laid there. But then as I got older, I went to high school and I just felt this huge, unmanageable burden for people's souls. Mm. even when I was six, the pastor brought up hell, and I thought, I need Jesus. I'm not going to go there. Mm-hmm. Eternity, you know, I've been around for a little bit, but eternity sounds like a long time. Yeah. I want to hedge my bets right. And more and more, I just felt the burden. When I was in seventh grade, my cousin had died of a drug overdose at 19. And the funeral was, you know, every funeral can feel different. And of mm-hmm. course, people are broken, but I've never been to one with quite that kind mm-hmm. of hopelessness and brokenness. And all I could think of is, why didn't I share the gospel with her? Even though I was in middle school and she was an adult, and I felt that responsibility. So going into high school, I was that kid. Mm. I had it in my mind, I got to share the gospel every day. Mm. And so I would, you know, the school day would end and I wouldn't have shared with somebody. And so I would go make a new friend and and say, well, what do you think about God? And and just try, because I just felt that weight of people's souls. So there's a bit of that. And I'd say since high school, my calling and my concern for reaching people has grown to a more healthy place, I think, respecting that how much God is in control. And that helping bring people into a relationship with Jesus is a joy, and it should be fun and enjoyable. Right. And trusting that God has good things for me and for people, and that is a pressure that I was never meant to totally hold on to myself.
And in our closing 30 or so seconds, a shout out for your beloved Hannah.
Oh my goodness, she is the very best. I like to say she is tenacious. I mean, she gets things done, but she has been just my rock. We've had the privilege of being married from a very young age, 18 and 19. So we've grown up together, and we've had the privilege of working side by side in ministry and working from home. So she has just been such a joy in my life, like none other.
In case you missed a portion of today's broadcast on Testimony Tuesday, Nick Brzozowski has been my special guest. And if you need more information about his church, AnchorChurchIL.com, AnchorChurchIL.com, or you can call him directly at 262-945-5603. I appreciate you, Brother Nick, Pastor Nick, Friend Nick, being a part of today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, we'll be praying up Anchor Church and your bookkeeping business. Is there a name for the bookkeeping business yet?
Yeah, you'll like this, since it's BRZ Bookkeeping. So just the first three letters of my last name, BRZ Bookkeeping.
And they can find out more. Is there a website or anything?
Yep, brzbookkeeping.com.
brzbookkeeping.com, and also anchorchurchil.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Nick Brzozowski with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.